Just before we start today, are you a teacher? Most listeners aren't, because we aim this show at students. But if you are an educator of some form, I just wanted to let you know that I'm co-authoring a special series this month on effective studying with this week's podcast guest, Peps McRae, for his famous ultra-concise, ultra-high-value Evidence Snacks email newsletter. In the three-part series we've put together, I'm sharing some of my all-time favourite tips and tricks that I've learned over the years to help embed smarter study strategies in your school, helping students study smarter, not harder, going beyond the research recommendations to figure out exactly what we need to be telling students to help them put good ideas into practice. In the email series, I'm even giving away some of my teaching resources so you can pick up some ready-to-teach lessons so you can deliver these ideas directly into your school. So you get slides, a little video, and even a workbook for your learners. Follow the link in the episode description to catch up on any emails in the series that you might have missed so far, and then sign up to Peps's Evidence Snacks email list to get the rest of the series delivered directly to your inbox. For everyone else listening, all my non-teacher friends studying hard for their exams at school, university and more, I just wanted to say, especially if your exams are coming up soon over the next few weeks, hang in there, my friends, keep going, you've got this. And now, here's today's episode.
Welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast, helping you ace your exams at school and university through the psychology of high performance and the science of studying smarter, not harder. It's my pleasure to introduce your host, the Cambridge-trained memory psychologist and exam success coach, William Wadsworth!
Hello and welcome. Today I wanted to share a new habit I've been adopting this year, a little mindset or productivity trick that's been making a big difference in my life. I wanted to talk to you about it, and I think it might be helpful to you too. It's a simple daily 5-minute journaling / planning exercise that I do now as part of my morning routine, and I've really been finding it helps me make much better decisions, focus on the things that matter, and make faster progress towards my big goals. So today I'll describe how I do it, what the benefits are, and some variations on my approach that you could consider if you want to adopt something along these lines and ultimately tailor the strategy to work best for you in your specific circumstances. Let's take a look. It all happens in a special notebook I bought for the task. I don't do much else in this notebook, but if I ever do any self-development courses or coaching sessions for myself, as in coaching for me rather than the coaching work I do, I also use this notebook for that kind of work as well. So all my kind of personal development stuff stays together. So each day I turn to a new page in the notebook, and I start by writing my word of the year, nice and big, with a few sort of asterisks around it, right up at the top of the page. Next, I write down something I'm proud of or grateful for from the past few days. And then finally, I write down all the things I want to get done in the short term, that's today and sort of over the next few days, as well as any other slightly more long-term things that I want to capture, things that I can't get done today, but I want to capture them for future reference. I look back at the list and then I'll asterisk the ones that are the highest priorities. Let's break down these three bits and talk about the benefits of them all. So I'm going to start in reverse order. I'm going to start with the third bit, the to-do list, because that's the bit I spend the most time on. Now, I would say that even if you already have your to-do list safely recorded somewhere else, you use a tracking program or something to record your to-do list, I think there's still great power in starting your day by writing it down from your brain, not copying it out from your to-do list, but letting it flow out of your brain. I think once you're juggling a lot of priorities, as is very common for many ambitious high schoolers, and certainly for university, college students and working professionals too, we often spend a lot of time with a big kind of mental overhead worrying about what we should focus on each day and whether we should do this task or the other. Brain dumping your thoughts on your priorities, just writing them out of your head, it's a really nice way to just clear the mind. It's not about coming up with the list. It's not about like having the list and kind of creating the list for you to work from so much as it is about kind of clearing the mind. it's got to be a fresh brain dump from your day at the start of the day to do that. And having done that exercise, it's much easier then to move through your day with clarity and purpose and not worry about whether you've prioritized the right stuff. This exercise also acts as a really nice bit of intention setting. So setting out your intentions for what you want to achieve that day, and thereby reinforcing your motivations to get things done, to get the right things done that particular day. And then perhaps most importantly, chances are your priorities change a little bit. So even if you use a different, even if you've got kind of a master to-do list recorded somewhere else, your decisions about what to prioritise that particular day, what you want to get crossed off that day, is quite a dynamic decision, I think, that you want to make afresh each day, because it might change. It's going to change depending on how yesterday went, what you got done yesterday, any new ideas that have come in, any new opportunities that have come in. So by starting the day with this exercise, it lets you shuffle everything around and really make sure that that day's work helps you is focused on the most important and impactful things for you that day. Now, linking this back up to the first step, writing out the word of the year, that's a way of kind of priming your brain, I think. So by writing that word of the year, that primes your brain to make better decisions about how to spend your limited time that day. Let me just unpack this a little bit. So I talked about the word or theme of the year concept quite recently, back in episode 133. But in a nutshell, this one is about finding a word or theme that captures your overriding intentions for what you kind of want to achieve more of that year. People might do a year of health, or a year of reading, or a year of flow, or a year of enough, or a year of adventure. Whatever it is you feel you need to invite more of into your life. Again, check out episode 133 for more on this general principle. And do note that you don't need to wait till the new year to start this useful habit. Life is too short to tell yourself you'll be better a few months away. So even if it's November when you listen to this, it might be well be worth setting a word for the remainder of that year and then crack on with it if the concept sounds like it could be useful to you. Now, a big part of the way this kind of general theme of the year idea works is that it kind of acts as a bit of a guide on your shoulder at the decision points, the big or small decision points, guiding you to act consistently with your theme. So if you're waiting in line at a coffee shop and you remember that you are in your year of reading, you whip out your phone and instead of social media, you flip into the eBooks app and read something to feed your brain. Now, one of the biggest leverage points you have throughout your year is that daily habit when you are drawing up your to-do list, deciding how you will spend the majority of your day. Or if most of your day is spoken for through either a day job or your classes, then it might be, you know, deciding how you spend your evenings or your kind of precious time in the evening when you get to decide what to work on. So by priming your brain before writing your to-do list, you're more likely to make better decisions about how to spend your time that day or that evening that is in keeping with your broad ambition for that year. Let me give you a couple of examples to bring this idea to life. So for me personally, my theme of the year this year is all about trying to do more to get my message out there in the world and help reach and help more people. And through the exercise I've been describing in this episode, I find I've been consistently been braver and bolder in the tasks I choose to work on each day, and acting more in line with that kind of overall ambition to just get out there a little bit more. So for example, I've done a lot more work this year than for a very long time, for many years, to kind of reach out to other podcasts in education or parenting niches where I might be a good and valuable guest to have on someone else's show. And that is a way of helping more people discover the Exam Study Expert podcast. On which note, a little side note, if you yourself run an established podcast or know someone who does and wants to have me on, shoot me an email and let's talk, or drop an email to the host of that show if you know them, and be kind enough to recommend me. If you want to email me about the opportunity, the address is william@examstudyexpert.com. So that's an example from my own life at the moment. A more academic example, though, if I was using this strategy in my university days, so I've only been using this strategy the past few weeks, it's quite new for me, but if I'd known about it back in my university days, the thing that at the top of the page might not have been my word of the year. I might have simply put my central outcome goal, so what I wanted to achieve in my degree, which in my case, I was all aiming to get a first class degree, which is the top grade you can get in UK universities. So that would have meant that my to-do list each and every day would then be that much more focused on achieving that goal of a first-class degree. So maybe it would motivate me to more consistently do my pre-reading ahead of a class, or go the extra mile on an assignment, or do a bit of start getting a bit of exam prep in early and consistently. You know, all those little actions that added up over the terms, over the academic year, will ultimately help me achieve the results I'm looking for. Okay, so we've talked about the top and the bottom bit. The middle bit, the bit I haven't talked about yet, was about brainstorming a few things I'm proud of or grateful for. Considering these two questions are both great habits for good mindset health generally, the bit about what you're proud of helps me recognise my progress, which could also be process as well as outcome. Process being, for an example, the kind of work you're doing, the habit, the positive habits you're adopting, and hence, you know, recognizing being your feelings of pride about the work you've been doing reinforces that those positive behaviors and helps dial them in. So even if you kind of haven't got the outcomes yet, even if you don't have the grades to show for it yet, then just reinforcing the positive habits that you are adopting, or any positive decisions you made the day before about how to spend your time, those are all really good things to reinforce. The bit about being grateful for what you're grateful for, that's just a classic mindset trick to help put you in a better state of mind. And it's even been linked to being an advantageous habit for your mental health generally. So that's my basic approach and why I find it helpful. A few variations to finish this episode. So a few sort of theme variations on the core theme that I've been describing that might be more suitable for your goals and your needs. So this section I'm just talking about, that middle section, the bit you're proud of or grateful for, you might want to adapt that depending on your specific mindset goals. So for example, if you have a lot of kind of imposter syndrome type thoughts, focusing on things you're proud of from the past few days is a great way to remind yourself what you're getting right and keep the self-doubt in check. So that could be a really good thing for you to focus on if for overcoming imposter syndrome. Number two, I already mentioned the idea that if you're working towards exams as your primary life goal, your thing at the top of the page might be the results you're looking for rather than the word or theme. So it might not be a word of the year at the top of the page, it might be the exam results you're wanting. So first class degree or AAB in your school grades or you know, whatever it is. Number three, if you have learning to do, so you've got exams to learn for, I might fold in some memory journaling as part of this strategy. So one of your sections will become a little bit of memory journaling. Memory journaling is a simple bit of daily retrieval practice based on key things you learned or studied yesterday. And I talked about this way back in episode 23. So do check out that episode for more on this idea. Number four, you might enjoy other forms of journaling. So some people find it helpful to go even more freeform than simply dumping down what I need to do today and open it up to what's on my mind. Personally, I find that a lot of what's on my mind is things I want to do either today or future opportunities. And so that's the thing that's most helpful for me to focus on. But for other people, you might be wondering, you know, ruminating on future opportunities or, you know, where you're going in your course or career, and just taking a moment to kind of allow some of those thoughts to flow out onto the page, again, can be a nice habit for your mind, freeing it up and just kind of clearing it out ahead of starting the day. So you start the day with a nice clear mind and more capacity to kind of focus on what matters. And then fifth and finally, think about how this little habit, this bit of kind of planning or journaling fits into your other morning routine activities, and perhaps see if you can't stack it on top of what you do already. So for example, if you already have a habit as part of your morning routine to do something like morning prayer or meditation or both, and that's something you do as part of your morning routine before getting to work, then this daily journaling practice could fit really nicely, perhaps either before or after your kind of prayer and or meditation. So there we have it. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Perhaps it's given you some food for thought about what you want to incorporate into your morning routine to help set your day up for success. As always, if you want to work with an experienced study coach to help maximise your success in your upcoming exams, talking about your study habits, the way you plan your time, set your day up for success, as well as the strategy you go about use to go about learning your stuff for your exams in the most time efficient way, it would be my pleasure to help. Find out more about how I can support and at examstudyexpert.com/coaching. I love doing what I do. Please do reach out if you want to find out more about how I might be able to help you, or if you're a parent, how I might be able to help your family achieve success in your exams or courses this year. Thanks so much again for listening today, and wishing you every success, as always, in your studies.
If you've got exams coming up, you can now get all of William's favourite tips and tricks to save you time and get you higher grades, all in one handy cheat sheet. Grab your copy at examstudyexpert.com/free tips. Thanks again for listening, and see you soon.